Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We stand ready for your word. We pray now, God, that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the good seed of your word find good soil in our hearts, that we would be more than just hearers of your word, and we would be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul Bataldin made a statement that resonated with me when I heard it. Paul said, every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. Think about that for a moment. Every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. So whatever comes out at the end of the process, Paul argues, the system is designed to produce it. Whether or not you like what is produced doesn't matter. Whatever is produced at the end of that process is the intent and comes out of the design of that system. So, for example, for generations, people have complained about the education of children of color in HISD. And they would argue and say that the school system is broke. And they would be shocked when I would say, no, it's not broke. It is functioning just as it was intended. Because it was never intended to educate children of color. So when you see children of color disproportionately failing, the system is not broke. It's functioning as it was designed. And my brothers and sisters, the same is true for your life. The same is true for your life. Your life is perfectly designed to get the results that you are getting right now. If you don't like what you're getting, if you don't like what you're receiving, then you've got to change the system by which you are living your life. If you continue to live the way that you live, you'll continue to get what you've been getting. So if you continue to argue with your supervisors and bosses and continue to think you're always right, you will continue to be fired and added back to the available employment pool over and over again. Right? Like somewhere along the line, you got to figure out there might not be a problem with every employer you've ever had. Maybe the problem is the common denominator, the employee, I'm just saying. Or like the fella that said he'd been married 5 times, and he said women don't get them. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe you don't get yourself. Right? But can it be everybody else's fault? Or maybe do you need to look in the mirror? Because every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. When you think about your life, when you think about problems and situations that you're dealing with, here's what I need you to understand. If you continue to address long-term problems with short-term solutions, you will continue on the roller coaster of long-term suffering and short-term celebrations. What do you need to know and do to change your life for the better? What do you need to do to change your beliefs and behaviors so your life can be changed for the better? Today, I want to challenge you to think about what it means to experience a reset in life. Everybody say reset. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how to reset your life to the glory of God. How to reset your life to the glory of God. Now, somebody may ask the question, what does it mean to reset your life? Well, the word reset generally means to return something to its original state or its default settings or to clear anything that's causing something to act abnormally or to function beneath or below its peak efficiency. Somebody may use this phrase to say something like this: I need to reset my phone because it's not working properly. Just the other day, I kept on trying to do something, and man, my phone just wouldn't act right. And then I realized I probably hadn't turned my phone off in at least 2 or 3 weeks. And so I turned it off, let it sit and settle for about 5 minutes, turned it back on, and it worked fine. Because I had not turned it off, I had not given it an opportunity to reset. Some people may use that phrase in the context of their computer and say, I'm going to reset my password because my account got hacked. You know what gets on my nerves, y'all? I hate when they keep on asking me to just randomly reset my password, and then I can't use the same password I used in the last 3 years, you know? I'm like, man, I just ain't got that many passwords, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, already used that one. I'm like, well, I already used that one. Come on, man, nobody bothered that one. Just my own personal gripe, I guess. Maybe you need to reset your computer because it froze, but today I want to challenge you to reset your life. To reset your life. Sometimes we only think about resetting when things are going bad or when we've had a tough time, but I want to encourage you to reset your life today. You might need to reset your life in terms of your circumstances, your job, your home, your finances, maybe in terms of relationships you need to experience a reset. Maybe in terms of your thinking, maybe you've got some stinking thinking going on and you need to reset your thought process. Maybe you need to reset your commitments or your actions or your beliefs. Here's what I need you to understand about a reset. A reset can be started with an intellectual decision, but typically a reset is hard to stay with because it requires emotional buy-in and not just intellectual buy-in, right? In other words, you got to feel it in order to get in it and to stay with it. Jesus, in our text, had discussed with his disciples that he was to bear the cross for the human race. And here in Luke chapter 9, going into verse 23, he now switches the emphasis from the cross that he would bear for humanity to the cross that we must bear for divinity. Jesus challenges us to think through what it means to, in a very real sense, experience a reset in life. And when we talk about this reset, for somebody, it's a reset in terms of salvation. We know there's only two kinds of people in the world, right? People who need Jesus and people who know Jesus. And the people who need Jesus need to know him in terms of salvation, but the people who know Jesus are already saved. They need to know him more intimately in terms of sanctification. So either way, we stand to benefit from experiencing a reset in life. Four things I want you to see today out of our text in Luke chapter 9. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can download a fill-in-the-blank outline by going to our app or going to our website, goodhope.org. Here's the first thing. You have to intentionally choose to reset your life. If you are going to reset your life to the glory of God, you have to intentionally choose to reset your life. And he said to all, the ESV translation says, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would come after me. Now, remember, I told you two kinds of people in the world, people who need Jesus and people who know Jesus. And here's basically the message that I receive from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Every one of us, whether we need Jesus or know Jesus, whether we need to become a Christian or we already are a Christian, we need to learn how to prioritize Christ in our life. For somebody, it is an initial priority. For somebody else, it is a re-priority. But God says you ought to make the Lord the priority of your life, but it's a choice. It does not happen automatically, but it is open to everyone. He says unchurched and dechurched can prioritize God in their lives. So whether you're returning or recommitting to God or refocusing on God, he says you have the possibility, but the possibility will not become a reality unless you choose to do so. So he says, if any will come after me, some may choose not to, some may choose to. Choice is yours. If anyone, any person, anybody would come after me. Next level living requires a next level commitment. And let me share this with you, because for somebody, you are spiritually ahead of where you have ever been before. But here's what I need you to understand. Don't think because you're at a higher level than you've ever been before that you do not need to experience a reset in your life. Y'all, I'm one of those people, I always wait to get the iPhone, right? Like the newest version comes out and folk are standing in line and waiting, you know, and I'm like, man, no, I ain't doing that. Matter of fact, I got to get at least two or three generations deep. I want to make sure you worked out all the bugs and the kinks, you know, before I got it. And so, you know, iPhone 4 was cool for me, even though iPhone 7 was out. I had no need. I got iPhone 7 when iPhone 11 was out. Got no problem letting y'all work through all the kinks, right? Those of you who define your self-worth by the level of iPhone you have, I'm praying for you. I'm good. My wife says, baby, we gotta upgrade our phones and we get a free upgrade. I don't think nothing about it, because I'm cool with my iPhone 11. I said, okay, whatever you want to do. And she came back with an iPhone 16, y'all. This is the first time I ever had the current generation iPhone in my life. I didn't know how to act, y'all. I didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to. I was like, man, let me get every protection I can. I'm like, man, I've never had this, right? Here's what I came to understand. That going up to the next level was always a choice of mine, but it wasn't always something I took advantage of. Here's all I'm saying to you. You might be satisfied with iPhone 11 spiritually, but if God has more for you, do you want to reset and get more? Do you want to get that download and get it working at its peak capacity? And I'm suggesting to you today that wherever you are, God says, there's more I want to do. I'm just waiting on you. See, to follow the Lord requires you to make a shift. And for some of us, that shift is mental. For some of us, that shift is emotional. For some of us, that shift is spiritual. For some of us, that shift is physical. But you've got to be willing to make a shift. Here's the second thing. Number two, you have to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. You've got to learn how to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. Verse 23, and he said to all, if any one would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. In a world that celebrates as celebrities those who are able to engage in self-indulgence at the highest level, not many people are willing to deny themselves and don't see the ability to deny themselves as something to be applauded or lauded. When people can't have what they want, they respond like spoiled children. They whine, they cry. There are many people, hopefully none sitting in here right now, who can't get their way. And when you can't get your way, you let everybody know that you want your way. But God says, if you are going to experience a real reset in your life, you got to learn how to say no to yourself. He says, deny yourself, decline, renounce, discipline yourself. Now, here's the truth of the matter. The overwhelming majority of us have no problem disciplining other people. We don't have any problem telling somebody else what they need to do to get right. We don't have any problem telling other people, no, that's not the right thing to do. But it's hard to discipline yourself. Karl Malone, Hall of Fame basketball player, was sitting on a talk show, and Karl Malone in his playing days looked like a Greek god, 6'9", you know, 250 pounds, cut, ripped. And they asked Karl about his workout regimen and who his trainer was, because players were known to hire trainers, and they would brag about how much money they would spend in taking care of their body. And Karl Malone said, I don't have any trainer. He said, you don't have a trainer? He said, no, I don't need a trainer. What I need a trainer for? He said, man, I got over 12 million reasons to keep my body in shape. That was his salary at the time. Karl was able to find self-motivation in his salary, and he was able to discipline himself. How many of us have the ability to deny ourselves? In what area of your life do you need to deny yourself? In what area of your life do you need to say no? See, here's what I've learned in life. Even if you can say yes, there's some things you still need to say no to. It may be lawful, Paul says, but it's not expedient. And you've got to discipline yourself to say no, even when inside you want to say yes. Here's the third thing. I told you you've got to intentionally choose to reset your life. Number two, I said you have to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. Here's the third thing. You have to live a committed life to God every day. You have to live a committed life to God every day. Put that back up on the screen. Some folk are looking for it. You have to live a committed life. The point, put it back up on the screen. Oh, there you go. You have to live a committed life to God. It's committed, not connected. You have to, huh? There you go. You have to live, I'm about to say, wait a minute, hold on, I wrote the sermon, hold on now. You have to live a committed life to God every day. Verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, there it is, and take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. People in Jesus' day knew what it meant to take up a cross. They saw scores of criminals bear the cross to the place where they were to be executed, and they witnessed a number of crucifixions, some even on the side of the road that led in and out of cities. The cross did not mean merely bearing a particular hardship in life. The cross is always an instrument of death, not just an object to carry or to bear. And the Christian has to choose to die to self daily. Daily, mentally, emotionally. You've got to choose to die daily. You have to put your will on the cross every day, your desires, your wants, your ambitions. You've got to put them on the cross and make a decision to follow Jesus and to live the way God wants you to live. Now, I want you to notice something. That commitment is daily. So it's not a one-time commitment. It's not, oh, I'm saved, I'm good, now that's it. No, no, no. He says every day, daily you've got to take up your cross. Daily you've got to work to get better and better, stronger and stronger. See, the necessary reset and focus to represent the Lord has to happen every day of your life. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 11. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Your body is an instrument. You decide who gets to play it. And if you decide who gets to play it, Paul says, choose to let your body be an instrument of righteousness and not unrighteousness. Here's the fourth and final thing. Number four, you have to always make sure you're following the Lord and not requiring the Lord to follow you. You've got to make sure you are always following the Lord and not requiring the Lord to follow you. Verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That word for follow means to go after or go with, to trail somebody. He says, I need you to make a commitment to follow me. Most of you in here are old enough to remember a game we used to play called Follow the Leader. And whoever got in front, you had to do exactly what the leader did. Whatever they did, whatever move they made, whatever step they took, you had to follow the leader. And if you didn't follow the leader, you were out. The Lord says, I want you to follow me. Now, unlike some of us, who when we're driving and somebody is following us, we act like they're not following us. Come on now, have you ever follow somebody and you'd be like, hey, did you remember I'm following you? And they weaving in and out. Light yellow, they go through it. You like, oh, my bad, I forgot you were following me. But the Lord has not forgotten. The Lord has not forgotten that you are following him. The Lord wants you to follow him. But here's a simple principle that I want you to get. Maybe you need to write this down somewhere on your outline. You can't stay where you are and go with God where he wants you to go. You can't stay where you are and go where God wants you to go at the same time. And that's the problem for many of us. We want God's blessings, but we don't want to move from where we are. We want to stay where we are and get the blessings that would come if we move to where we need to move. So let me give you an example in the systems opening of our sermon. I want different results, but I leave the same system in place. I put new people in positions, but I leave the same people in place. I got the same systems in place. I can put in new strategies. I can come up with new slogans. But if I have the same system in place, what am I going to end up with? the same thing I've been getting. And that's the way we live our lives. Listen, a cute slogan is not going to change what you get in life. A new outfit is not going to change what you get in life. A new hairstyle, a new car, a new house is not going to change what you get in life if you don't change the system by which you live your life. If you continue to live by that same philosophy, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. You may be getting a higher grade of it, but you're going to get the same thing you've been getting. If you're going to go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do, you must be willing to make a major adjustment in order to follow God. And here's the truth. Most of us want God to adjust to us. And we think if we pray enough, if we holler enough, if we fast enough, whatever we come up with, God is obligated to bless. That's one of the problems I have in churches today with the cotton candy theology and pep rally preaching that we see going on across our country. There's no requirement on our part. It's all put on God. And we're waiting for God to do for us and God to give to us. But there's no requirement on our part to do anything to get from God. God just is obligated to give. No matter what I'm doing, no matter where I am, I'm waiting on God. When more times than not, God is waiting on us. The commitment to follow God. Can I tell you something about a reset that I've learned? Dan Heath, in his book Reset, does a great job of laying out different aspects of reset and experiencing a reset. And one of the things that he says in his book that I found very interesting, Dan Heath said, a reset is not an and, it's an instead of. That most of us, when we try to reset our lives, we try to add to what we're already doing. And Dan Heath argues that in order for you to experience a true reset in your life, you can't add to your life. You got to do some stuff instead in your life. There's some stuff you've got to take out. There's some stuff you've got to pull out of your life and replace with what you want to help you experience that reset in life. Our tendency is to want God to adjust to us and our plans. Sometimes we want to obey God, but only on our terms. And the only way to follow God is to align your thinking and actions with his ways. Anytime you want to go from where you are to where God is working, or from your way of thinking to God's way of thinking, or from your way of living to God's way of wanting you to live, or from your purpose for living to God's purpose for your life, you have to be willing to make a major adjustment or shift in your life. You've got to be willing to experience a reset. And you may be saying today, Pastor, you don't know how far I've come. And I can hear the Holy Spirit saying, but how far do you have to go? Don't brag about how far you have come when you started at negative. God says, I've got so much more for you. I've got so much more for you. And I want you to think about all of the people who made a shift in their life, who experienced a reset in order to be used by God. Noah would have never built the ark if he continued to live life as usual. Abram would have stayed in Ur of the Chaldees and Haran and have never experienced the blessings of Canaan and his name change and being the father of many nations if he had stayed where he was. Moses could have stayed on the backside of a Midian desert, but Moses made a decision to experience a reset so he could be used by God to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Rahab couldn't obey the king and save the lives of the spies of the Israelites. She had to choose. She had to make a shift. David had to be willing to leave his sheep to become the king of Israel. Amos had to leave his sycamore orchard to preach in Israel. Jonah had to leave home and go to a place that he didn't want to go in order for God to use him to save an entire nation. Matthew had to leave his lucrative tax collecting job to follow Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had to leave their fishing business to follow Jesus. And the question I want to ask you is, what are you willing to leave? What are you willing to leave? What are you willing to give up? What is familiar to you that you're willing to say, you know what? Let me leave that behind in order to do what I know God has called me to do. Somebody in here, you've been stuck long enough. Somebody listening, you've been drifting long enough. Somebody, you've been settling long enough. But God says it's time for a reset. Not just a refresh, not just a recharge, but a reset, a recommitment to live your life in a way that pleases God. You've got to choose it intentionally, because spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. You got to say no to yourself, because you can't sit on God's throne when God is on it. You've got to live a committed life every day, because Sunday faith must show up on Monday morning. You've got to follow God, not drag him behind your plans, but make his plans your plans. Because when you reset your focus, God will reset your future. When you reset your heart, God will restore your hope. When you reset your life, God will release his power. When you reset your priorities, God will realign your purpose. When you reset your mind, God will renew your peace. When you reset your direction, God will reveal your destiny. When you reset your attitude, God will release his anointing. When you reset your schedule, God will strengthen your steps. When you reset your habits, God will multiply your harvest. When you reset your words, God will reshape your world. When you reset your vision, God will enlarge your view. When you reset your obedience, God will unlock your overflow. When you reset your trust, God will rebuild your testimony. So today I want to challenge you, reset your walk, reset your will, reset your work, reset your worship. Because God is ready to do something new in you. Don't miss your moment. Don't delay your decision. Don't postpone your purpose. Reset and let God rewrite the story of your life. Because the story's not over yet. Doesn't matter whether you're in the introduction or the conclusion, the story's not over yet. And God is waiting for you to let him do some things beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. Not for somebody else, not in somebody else, not through somebody else, but for you, in you, through you, God wants to do something amazing. Father, we thank you, and we bless you today for your word. I pray now, God, that somebody has heard from you, and I pray that wherever they are in their life, they would return to you. I pray that they would recommit themselves to you. I pray that they would initiate a reset in you. It's so easy to be distracted by the devil. Somebody who was reading their Bible every day can't remember the last day they read it. Somebody who was praying every day has gotten too busy to pray like they used to. Somebody who was pouring into somebody's life has gotten so busy that they haven't done it in a minute. Help us to reset, God, so we can get back to where you want us to be. We thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.